Hey, Baudelaire, how's it going?
How you doing, Dylan?
I'm good. You're in the studio. It's fun to see you in the like real recording studio.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to come into the city, feel like I have a job, you know, do the thing.
Yeah. And you're going on like a family trip soon too, right?
I am. I'm going to Grenada in the southeast of the Caribbean.
It seems like you've taken an interest in that part of the world. You've been pitching some like stories from the Caribbean lately.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my interest, it started in Haiti, but then like I found these parallel stories in other parts of the Caribbean, right? And then like these other islands in the Caribbean have similar ingredients, right? Like, you know,
right.
European colonizing and, you know, indigenous people, Africans brought there, but they each created something unique at the same time.
There's a lot there. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So like in my search throughout the Caribbean, I found this one story that I think you're really going to be into it.
Where are we going in the Caribbean?
All right, we're going to Martinique, southeast Caribbean, and we're telling the story of a volcano eruption.
This is like one of the most disastrous volcano eruptions of all time, right? This is
absolutely
like one of the truly like ultimate volcano disasters.
Yes, absolutely. Right at the turn of the century, 1902 clears out an entire city and only one man survives.
This is such a, I know, this is such a crazy story.
My name is Baudelaire, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, I tell the story of Ludgar Silvaris, possibly the best ever example of being in the wrong place at the right time. More after this.
Whether you are traveling, advancing your career, or just love learning, learning to speak a new language can create incredible opportunities. And Rosetta Stone makes it easier and more immersive than ever. Rosetta Stone offers an incredible way to learn a new language. I have been using it to try and learn a little bit of Spanish, and it is really exciting to try to immerse myself and just think about, you know, not sounding like such a dope when I try and speak Spanish. That is a thrilling prospect. And the Atlas Obscura podcast listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That is unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/wonder to get started.
Are you still quoting 30-year-old movies? Have you said cool beans in the past 90 days? Do you think Discover isn't widely accepted? If this sounds like you, you're stuck in the past. Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. And every time you make a purchase with your card, you automatically earn cash back. Welcome to the now. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
All right, so where does the story start? Like, set the stage for us.
Okay, so the story starts May 7th, 1902, in what was known as the Paris of the Caribbean, Saint-Pierre, Martinique.
Tell me a little bit about it. What's it like there?
All right, well, it's like the economic and cultural hub of Martinique, you know, coastal city, you know, busy port, colorful homes, you know.
This is like a rich colonial port city.
Absolutely. But on this specific day, May 7th, we got a bunch of people coming in from the countryside, and they're all saying that this mountain, Mount Pele, which is only 8 miles outside of the city, there's gas coming up from the volcano. You know, birds are starting to fly down the volcano towards the city. Ants are starting to come in droves towards the city. So they think something's up.
When all of the like spiders and snakes start like fleeing, like you, that's a strong indication that things are not going to go well.
Exactly. So people come to the city and they tell the authorities like, hey, you know, something's probably about to happen.
Yeah.
And the authorities are like, nah, you're overreacting.
Oh, really? They're not like doing anything?
No. Authorities are like, nah, just don't worry about it. Not a big deal.
Okay. So what if the authorities are not like helping evacuate this island, which does seem like maybe the thing they should be doing. Yes. What are they up to with their time?
Well, a few authorities are worried about this guy, Ludgar Silbaris.
Okay.
He works by the docks, and he's a guy that likes to enjoy a drink or two.
Of course, you're a dock worker. It's 1902. Like, let the man have a drink. I'm sure he's drinking responsibly.
Yeah, but the thing about Ludgar is when he would start drinking, usually he would either end up in a brawl or be in the middle of starting a brawl.
Right.
So he's becoming a risk to public safety.
Right.
We'll call it. And on May 7th, Ludgar gets arrested. We actually don't know what it is that he did wrong on that day. And we'll get to why we don't know later.
Yeah.
But we know Ludgar was up to something. And the authorities had it and pretty much decide, we're putting you in this cell for the night.
What kind of jail are we talking about? Is it like Old West kind of jail? Like, what does it look like, this thing?
So it's a solitary cell in the side of a hill. Half of it is underground. So it's made out of stone wall. It's not too big. There's no windows. And really, the only opening is this slit under the door.
I mean, this is... Normally, this is like a truly horrible place to be. It's like an awful solitary prison cell. It's half underground. It's basically almost like a cave.
Yes.
Except a horrible place to be.
Yes, except this one night where it was the best possible place to be.
Okay, so we're in the Paris of the Caribbean with this highly active volcano. Mount Pelee is only 8 miles from the city. The snakes are fleeing. The spiders are fleeing. Ludgar, maybe drunk, is in this like half underground solitary confinement cell. I'm going to guess what's about to happen.
Yes, go for it.
I'm thinking that this giant volcano does in fact explode.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And when it does explode, black clouds cover the sky for 50 miles.
Whoa.
So I want to point out that the mountain exploded in the early morning, about like 7:52.
Okay.
Right? So suddenly we're back into complete darkness.
Oh, wow.
Also, the volcano starts spewing a deadly combination of superheated gas, ash, and rock that races at 400 miles an hour from the volcano.
Right. This is the thing. It's not like the lava that gets you. It's this like superheated wall of poisonous air, right? Like that's this thing that starts like 400 miles an hour. You're not running away from that. Like this sounds very bad. You know, is anyone able to get to shelter? Like what is the survival rate of this disaster?
Everybody dies.
Like everybody.
like almost immediately. Everyone's gone.
Like 30,000 people?
The entire city. Every building, everyone's gone. Except one man does survive.
Ludgar, you lucky, lucky SOB. Oh my God. How is it that he is able to survive this? What is the qualities of that cell that basically make him the sole survivor of this insane eruption?
Well, his cell being half underground helped, as well as it being completely made out of stone, allowed it to keep it from the extreme temperatures to an extent, right?
Right.
Like it was hot in there, obviously. He's on the verge of death. But even as the air is coming from under that slit in his door, he puts his clothes to cover the slit and has to pee on his clothes. To keep the air.
Oh, so he almost forms, like he turns it into like a little bubble. Like he like keeps the air that's in there and all that rock like absorbs this heat and whatever. And so this is able to basically like pass over him.
Absolutely.
That's nuts. But also I can't help but notice like he's in prison. he can't get out. Like everybody's dead and the city's gone. Like
exactly. So imagine the surveyors when they're like, you know, walking amongst all this devastation and they hear the moans and the cries of a man in a what isn't even a noticeable cell, right? It's covered in ash and so they have to kind of move towards this and are like, are we hearing a a human in there? And so they dig out, and once they open the door to the cell, they see Ludgar within inches of death.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was basically put into like a bomb shelter.
Yes.
Unknowingly, the police put him into like a bomb shelter. And so he's the only survivor. So he does the impossible. He survives this insane volcanic eruption. Mm-hmm. What happens next? Is he put back in prison? Or like what happens after this incident?
Well, after he makes a full recovery, he's pardoned for all his crimes for two reasons. One, because authorities figure he suffered enough.
Right.
Also, no one knows what he did because everyone who was there
is dead.
The police station is gone.
I love this part of this story because there's like this mystery left. Like, had he just committed murder? We don't know. We'll never know. Did he ever say what he was in prison for?
Well, so after he makes a full recovery, he is recruited by P.T. Barnum from the infamous, or from the famous Barnum and Bailey
Circus.
Infamous,
famous, both. Infamous, famous.
You know, so he goes on tour with Barnum and Bailey. And so his setup on the tour is basically him telling his story next to a makeshift cell. He never says what exactly he does, which kind of lends itself to the idea of like, did you do something so bad that you don't want to say?
Yeah, it's interesting.
And also at this time, Barnum and Bailey it's segregated. So another aspect of the Ludgar Silbar story is that he is seen as the first Black person to go on tour with Barnum and Bailey, like nationally.
Whoa. Oh, all it took was 30,000 people being killed in a volcanic eruption.
Yeah. No one else on the tour can even compare to him. The thing that he had to do to make it versus like the tricycle guy is like, what do we, you know? But
oh, man. Whoa. So then does he just like, I mean, obviously he probably makes some money doing this. Does he just go on to like live the rest of his life?
Yeah, as he probably deserves to at that point.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
You survived doomsday, man. Go get it.
What about the city? Does it still exist in any way? Is there currently a St. Pierre?
There is, but it is much smaller than it was even in 1902. Mm-hmm. I believe it's only a city of about, I want to say, 4,000 to 8,000 now. So much smaller.
Pretty small.
Yeah, pretty small, especially compared to what it once was. And you can still go there, and you can actually visit Ludgar's cell. It's still there.
Right. Okay. Are you going to go visit?
You know, it's funny. My mom was just telling me she wants to go to Martinique, so I'm sure we're going to visit it sooner than later.
You got
to
go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the volcano still there?
The volcano is very much still there and very much active.
Yes. All right. I wish you luck on your trip.
But the next time the animals are coming down from the volcano, everyone's probably gonna get out of
Baudelaire. If you see some snakes making their way towards the sea, like get out.
If I even see a bird flying in the direction of the town, I'm completely out of there.
Man, volcanoes are nuts.
This episode was produced by Baudelaire. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The people who make our show include Doug Baldinger, Chris Naka, Camille Stanley, Johanna Mayer, Manola Morales, Baudelaire, Amanda McGowan, Alexa Lim, Casey Holford, and Luce Fleming. Our theme music is by Sam Tyndall. If you like our show, please give us a review and a rating whenever you get a chance and wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, obviously, you know, follow, subscribe, never miss an episode. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan from the internet and cable TV, or as your mom called me, that sports gal from Celebrity Jeopardy. I have a new podcast called Casuals. It's a podcast for people who like sports a normal amount. No stats or spreadsheets, nary an X or O to be found. Just laid back casual banter about home runs, hockey fights, and good old fashioned drama. Casuals is a twice-a-week hang with me and my friends from across comedy, sports, and entertainment, where we talk about all the funny, weird, interesting stuff happening in and around the world of sports. Think of it as all the best things about sports with none of the homework. So whether you're a diehard fan or vaguely sports curious, Casuals is the podcast for you. You can find Casuals on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to smash that follow button. That way you'll never miss an episode. Just try it. You can always unsmash it.